Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So, today we're going to read the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. We're on Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text Number 1. So just read that particular chapter. It gives a synopsis of Lord Ramachandra. And you know, the original form of Krishna, of God, is Krishna. And Krishna, he expands himself into so many various other forms. Advaita Achutam Anadim Anantarupam. So Krishna has millions and millions of different forms. And this particular form of Lord Ramachandra is especially very pleasing. In India, so many Ramraj, that, you know, the glories of Lord Ramachandra, that once again there should be Ramraj. So, in the pastimes and the life of Lord Ramachandra, we hear about his activities and his accomplishments. And Srila Prabhupada has told us many times that we can associate with the Supreme Lord because there's no difference between his form, his name, his pastimes, his activities. And because the Lord is absolute, we're associating with him. Just by hearing about Lord Ramachandra, we associate with Lord Ramachandra. Just like when we chant the Maha Mantra, we're chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And so many times we've been told that you associate with Krishna, that Krishna is actually dancing on your tongue as you chant the holy name. So in the same way, when we read on these particular days, the appearance day of the Supreme Lord in a particular form, we take advantage of these days to associate with the Supreme Lord in this particular form that he's taken. And so by his association, we actually become purified. This is the idea. The whole Krishna consciousness movement is about purification, how to become purified. And as devotees, we strive for that. That's just a natural inclination for a real devotee, to become more and more purified, become more and more absorbed in hearing and chanting about the Lord. So especially on these days, we take advantage of it in order to learn more about the Supreme Lord, because that is the purpose of life, to know Krishna, to know about Krishna. And that's why we read these pastimes. We remember on this particular day the activities of this particular form of the Lord. Just like Nrisimha Chaturdasi, we're so happy on that particular day. We pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for protection. And here we're learning about the activities of Lord Ramachandra, the perfect human being. He was perfect, perfect leader in all aspects. And of course, he had also the perfect consort, Sita Devi. So she was perfect. They were a perfect couple. And we see so many people in India, they want to have that situation, the perfect couple, Sita Ram. And Lord Ramachandra was very expert in his administration. The world was like such a yuga. Although he appeared in Treta Yuga, it was like such a yuga. Everything was so beautiful. It rained appropriately, not during the day, but in the evening. There was abundance of food. There was abundance of everything auspicious in the world. And that is actually the perfection of management in this world, if there's abundance of everything. I remember when I was a young boy, there was that feeling at one time, like in the 50s, you know, right after World War II, in the 50s, there was that short span of time, maybe through the 50s and through half of the 60s, there was that time in America where everything was abundance. It was so nice to be an American, to live in America. Everything was so nice. Those that were there at that time, maybe you can agree with that. Those of you that are that old. So, you know, there was that. Isn't it? Don't you think like that? Wasn't it like that at some particular point? Brigo, did you think the 50s were like kind of cool, right? Everything was... Although I'm sure there was a lot of debauchees and a lot of demons and all that stuff, but still, as a kid, you felt that everything was very nice, secure, happy. Even your parents were somewhat happy. So, yes, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that happiness, that abundance, that pleasurable situation. And this was Lord Ramachandra. He brought about that type of atmosphere, but much more surcharged than what I'm speaking about, the 50s or the 60s. But I'm just trying to give an example, use a mundane example. So Lord Ramachandra set a very wonderful example, because here he was, the son of a great king. His father was married to several queens. And yes, it was, his father was ill. His younger queen took good care of him. He offered a boon to her, and she said, okay, I'll cash in on that boon sometime later, not right now. And so she happened to cash in for that boon when the day before Lord Ramachandra was to take the coronation of king. And she asked, no, my son Bharat, he should be the king. And so, of course, Ramachandra's father, he agreed. Sure, what can I do? And when he told Lord Ramachandra, immediately Lord Ramachandra understood. He obeyed his father immediately. There was no question. He immediately obeyed that order that you're banished. For the next 14 years, you're banished into the forest. You're not going to be a king. You have to live in the forest as a mendicant. And this is rather cruel. And especially for Sita, who wanted to go with Lord Ramachandra. In those days, you know, the people of that caliber, it says that a queen would never touch the ground. That a queen would always go anywhere with a palanquin. They would never touch the ground. And so you can imagine Sita Devi taking on this austerity. So the purpose of mentioning this is, of course, the culture. This is what's really so enticing and beautiful about Lord Ramachandra. He exposed and taught a certain culture of training. Because you can't come to this position without some type of training. And so we see that in this day and age, in Kali Yuga, we're all born sudras. Janmana jayate sudra. Janmana. Our birth is sudra. And Prabhupada gave a very nice little definition of a sudra. He said that a sudra is one who's lamenting, one who laments. Always lamenting. Oh, I wish it could be like that. Oh, my God, if it could only have happened. Oh, wow. How can you treat me that way? Oh, this and that. And there's always this problem and no tolerance. Srila Prabhupada also said that a sudra means no tolerance. Can't tolerate anything. If the water is just not right, we get really angry. What's going on? You know, the heck's happening here? It's too cold, too hot. No tolerance. This is the symptom of Sudra. So we see that this is our position. We're all Sudras. We lament. We can't tolerate. We demand so many things. This is a Sudra. And we see that Lord Ramachandra, he exemplified the real brahminical qualities. Beautiful tolerance. He tolerated this thing from this order from his father immediately. Neither did he lament. This is real brahmana. He didn't lament, neither he was, you know, intolerant. He immediately accepted. That was really the beautiful pastime of Lord Ramachandra and how exceptional he was in his portrayal of the brahmana position. And of course we see that in Kali Yuga there's no training like this, samskara. There's no samskara in Kali Yuga. If there's any training at all, we're trained, you know, how to make money. You know, this is Kali Yuga. We're trained, get out there and get that money. And we're trained to get that money and then use it for sense gratification. That's the training of Kali Yuga. You can imagine. So, when we see young boys and girls, they want to come to Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult. Very difficult to be a devotee. And as Kali Yuga progresses, it becomes even more difficult. Because we're trained from childhood. You know, like even today, it's even worse today than when I was a child. When I was a child, if you got a toy, it would be it would be some little simple toy, like a little, you know, like a windmill, you know, one of those things on fan. We thought that was a great toy. You could get that toy and you'd play that windmill. You'd go like this and you'd watch that little thing twirl and you'd run around, you'd run up and down the street as fast as you can till you got tired out watching this windmill. And we thought that was a great toy. Or you got a little car. You know, sometimes you get like, you buy a, you know, Cracker Jack box and you come out a little toy and you think that'd be great. Or you got a little whistle and drive everybody crazy running around the house blowing a whistle. That was a great toy. That was really, it occupied us. But today you see, you got to get like, starting from iPhone, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and now 7, 4S, 7S, whatever, you know. And if you don't have that, then forget it. It's not, there's no satisfaction. And then the parents say, well, if you want that, get out there and work. You know, if you want this iPhone, you want that, this thing and that thing, then get out there and get that money. And that's the training in society. That's what we're taught. So then, all of a sudden, you know, they come in contact with the Hare Krishna movement, and the devotees tell them, oh, no, 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 no. No, no. And they can't understand. You know, to come from a windmill, a handheld windmill, to becoming a devotee was a pretty simple thing. You didn't expect much. But the expectations today are so huge. But there's no training. And even in my childhood, my mother made me go to church with her. I was religiously going to church every Sunday. And then I recall that I even became an altar boy. And I would even go to early mass and be an altar boy before running to school. Go to mass, be an altar boy, run home, change, you know, eat a little something, boom, run to school. And you know, in those days, I remember we lived a little distance from the school, and it wasn't like today where your mom and dad drive you. You know, they pick you up and they drive you and they wait for you when you get out. For myself and my two older brothers, we used to race to school. Run like who could be the school first. And of course, my older brother always won. And that was really depressing. It created a lot of distress. Lamentation. it created a lot of lamentation. But it made you think, well, one day I'll get there. So that wasn't such a far stretch to become a devotee. And at least there was some training there. But today, there's no training, even of who God is. It doesn't happen anymore. It's very rare that this happens. And you can see where that exists. It's really amazing. Like, take for instance the Utah. What do they call the Mormons? You take a look at the Mormons, and how they have a close knit society, and they train at least to learn about God. It may be a little bit, you know, not what we believe in, but they're training about God, isn't it? And they even make their students go out and do like 2 years of what is it called? Mission. Yeah, mission. Amazing. That, you know, and but outside of that, I don't know so much things that are happening, you know, in terms of some training, samskara. There's no training. So we see that in Kali Yuga, because of no training, people are just thinking about how to make money for sense gratification. So it's so imperative for us to read the pastimes of the Lord. Because when we do this, we associate, we become purified. And what is the purpose of the purification? The purpose of the purification is to teach people about God, about Krishna. To teach them there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that He is a person, and that He has pastimes. And we see that in Krishna consciousness, if we can revive the Vedic culture just a little bit, it doesn't have to be a lot. Even if we just revive it just a little bit, it's an immense benefit for society. Immense. It can't be calculated how much this can help the society in general. Because Krishna consciousness is so powerful, it's so incredibly powerful that we hear stories regularly about someone on their own getting a book at home, reading it, and practically becoming a pure devotee compared to material standards. On their own. So you can see that if a few of us become purified, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a few of us. That's all it is. A few would be this room. That would be a few of us. So it doesn't take much, because the power of Krishna consciousness is so powerful. So this is what the Vedic culture is about. To produce responsible human beings. That's what Lord Ramachandra represents. A responsible person who knows the goal of life. And they work towards that. And because people in the material world, they don't know what the real purpose of life is. They have no goal. So the only thing that's left for them to do is fight hard to get some sense gratification. That's all there is, really. If as growing up in a big family, what was all the fights about in family? About sense gratification. Who was going to get the sense gratification? And how come I didn't get any? And envious. School. My God, I hope I just never take birth just to go to school again. Literally. Just so I don't have to go through all that again. Just not to have to go to school. The torture of school. The association was horrific. You know? Boy-girl plaything. Boy against boy. Just criticize. It was crazy. I mean, all of us, is there anybody here that didn't go through that? I want to shake your hand, that person who didn't. If you didn't go through that, can I shake your hand? Because it's horrible. It's horrific. So, for us to read these pastimes is for purification. To become purified. So that we can preach Krishna consciousness. So that we can give people the real goal of life. The real purpose of your human life. It's not meant to work like an ass. Literally. People work like an ass. I'm in my home, I'm chanting, and you know, it's really nice, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really, you know, when you get up, you know, you're miserable. I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. I didn't get enough sleep, and I'm lamenting, because I'm a sudra. I'm lamenting. Oh, I can't take it anymore. This person's driving me crazy. My own mind is driving me crazy. My senses are out of control. And then finally you start chanting Hare Krishna and you're a little bit relaxed and feel a little bit good. And then by the time you get, you know, ready to go to Mangalarti, you go outside and you see the material world. I mean, don't you at 5 o'clock or 4:30 hear the interstate? You know, if you live here, don't you hear the interstate at 4:30? People are driving breakneck speed. Where are they going? For God's sake. Where are they going? What is their purpose? And then the sunshine comes out and the sun is rising and you hear birds chirping. They're chirping. You know, and Papa says, that chirping, what is it? They're yelling or speaking, talking to each other. Where's their food? Where's food? Where's food? And immediately they begin their quest for the day to acquire food, to feed their family. And this is what's happening in society. People are traveling at breakneck speed, 4:30 in the morning, to get ahead of the traffic. And they travel huge, like 70, 80 miles an hour to get to work. What is the difference between the bird, you know, and the human being? I mean, is that really all there is to human life? Is that what the purpose is? Just to eat, to sleep, to mate and defend? If that's the only purpose of life, then boy, no wonder we're suffering. There's more to it than that. And this is why Lord Ramachandra is so amazing. He teaches what is more than that. There's this responsible position. He took care of his family. But immediately he surrendered to the instruction of his father. He showed culture, strength, no lamentation, no desire for just sense gratification, duty. And this is Lord Ramachandra. Okay? Sorry if I went off on a tangent here for a while. Just a little bit. So we're going to read from the 9th canto, chapter 10, text 1. This is like a synopsis. We're going to read some of the purports, not all of them though. Just a few. So we'll just read the translation just to make it really flow so we can all keep up with the idea. Okay, so translation, text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasarath. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. So we'll read that purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaita Achyutam Anadyam Ananta Rupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms such as Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to prayers by the demigods. Next verse. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth, because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita. I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Text 4. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Sirpanaka, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamrita, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men, but Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune, who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Purport. Maharaj Dasarath had three wives. One of them, Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly, and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramachandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son Bharat and send Ramachandra to the forest. Maharaj Dasarath, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramachandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved, and the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. Text 9. While wandering in the forest where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer, and when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony for Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabunda. And after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Purport. We'll read it. When Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramachandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita had been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramachandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony, and then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi. Text 13. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger, and simply by glancing over the ocean, all the living energies within it, including the crocodiles and the sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of ghosts with the mode of ignorance, but you are the master of all these qualities. So we'll read that purport. The word Jadadiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead without being beaten. An animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. A Hindi poet has said, Dukha se sab hari bhaje, sukha se bhaje koi. Sukha se agar hari bhaje, dukha katan sahaya. When one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society, for without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. 15 translation. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of a disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, who is condemned like urine. Please, was that? Oh, okay. But is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water represents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. That particular bridge is existent today, under the water, under the ocean. Didn't they just find it, like some decade or two ago? That there's actual rocks underneath the ocean of this bridge. Purport. It's a lengthy one, but we'll read it. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbance to the three worlds. Thus the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramachandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences, But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge, and we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatvataha, tyaktva deham punar janma, naitimam eti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. End of quote. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Text 16. Sukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation have been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sitadevi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Purport. We'll read it. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swathes of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Only under his direction does prakriti, or material nature, work. Similar information is given in the Brahma Samhita 5:52. Yasyajgyaya brahmeti sambhita kala chakro govindam adi purusham tam aham bhajami. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Samhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramachandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramachandra eternally celebrated. Okay, text 17. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Madhav Hanuman accepted all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting house of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasa, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Sarantaka, Harantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gadamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prashas, rishtis, shakti arrows, gudgas, and tamaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mam Anushmara Yudhyacha, Bhagavad Gita 8:7. Think of me and fight. End of quote. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari Bol. Translation. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus, he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Maitali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." Purport. Nacha daivat param balam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so simple and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramachandra. This is the disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram. Bhagavad Gita 6:8. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident, and that there is no ruler, king, or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist. Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Nonetheless, because atheists are Rakshasas, they dare to do things that are most abominable, and thus they are punished without fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is to be punished. Translation. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow in his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. We'll read this purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:21, it is said, Shine punye marja lokam vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoined those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. End of quote. The fruitive activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvapadi vinir muktam tatparat vina nirmalam. C.C. Majja 19:170. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions. But when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Saugunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 4:26. Ravana or those like him may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position because, after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daiva netrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of the activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. Okay. 24. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continually crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshman. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. Oh, my Lord, oh, Master, you epitomized trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we also are defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? Purport. Ravana's wife, Mandodari, and the other wives knew very well how cruel a person Ravana was. The very word Ravana means one who causes crying for others. End of quote. Ravana continuously caused trouble for others, but when his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi, he was killed by Lord Ramachandra. Next verse. O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra. Okay, we'll read this purport also. Not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in the footsteps of Mother Sita can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of ideal chaste women, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of the five exalted chaste women. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. I'll read that again. by by staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It is a moral principle that one should not be influenced by lusty desires for another's wife. Matrivat paradare shu. An intelligent person must look upon another's wife as being like his mother. This is the moral injunction from Chanika Shloka 10. Matrivat paradare shu para dravyeshu loshravat. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu ya prasyati sa panditaha. One who considers another's wife as his mother, another's possessions as a lump of dirt, and treats all other living beings as he would himself, is considered to be learned. End of quote. Thus Ravana was condemned not only by Lord Ramachandra, but even by his own wife Mandodari. Because she was a chaste woman, she knew the power of another chaste woman, especially such a wife as Mother Sita Devi. Translation. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. Purport. One who follows the path of Ravana is condemned in two ways. His body is fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures, and the soul goes to hell. As stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tanaham dvisata kruran samsareshu naradaman shipanya jasram ashubam ashuresh veva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. End of quote. Thus the destination of godless atheists such as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and Dantavakra is a hellish condition of life. Manodari, the wife of Ravana, could understand all this because she was a chaste woman. Although lamenting for the death of her husband, she knew what would happen to his body and soul. For although one cannot see directly with one's material eyes, one can see with eyes of knowledge. Pasyanti jnana chakshusha. In Vedic history, there are many instances of how one becomes godless and is condemned by the laws of nature. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path of hell. Translation. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree named Simsapa, in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. Seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra was very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. After giving Vibhishana the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and then got on the airplane himself. The period for his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshman. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful, fragrant flowers, while great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorified the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence, his brother Bharat was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covering his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, and lying on a mattress of kusa. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Bharat understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Lord Bharat was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens, by professional musicians vibrating pleasing musical sounds, and by learned brahmanas loudly chanting Vedic hymns. Following in the procession were chariots drawn by beautiful horses with harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated by flags of golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor, servants bearing betel nut, and many well-known beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella, whisks, different grades of precious jewels, and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Accompanied in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharat stood with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharat with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshman, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned brahmanas and the elderly persons in the family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. O king, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk and an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Satrughna carried a bow and two quivers, and Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword, and Jambavan, king of the Rikshas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat on his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon with the stars and planets. The family priest or spiritual master, Vasishta, had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed a bathing ceremony for Lord Ramachandra with the water of the four seas and with other substances, such just as it was performed for King Indra. Lord Ramachandra fully bathed and his head clean shaven, dressed himself very nicely, and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. By being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharat, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of varna and ashram, accepted him as their father. We'll just go on. We won't. Yeah, we'll go to verse 51. 51. That was a very lengthy purport, and I know everybody's getting anxious. A few more minutes. Translation. Among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dvapara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. For if the process of Anashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be... Is that the right one? Yeah. That must be something else that was in there. I don't think this is... Sorry. Or was it? 9, 10, 51. So it is 51. Sorry. Among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dvapara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Anashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna conscious movement is meant for this purpose. That must be the purport. Isn't it? Yeah, I think I did. I must have missed the translation. But that is the purport. So, sorry about that. I'll read it anyway. Kalair dosha nidhe rajan asihi eko mahanguna kirtanat eva krishna sya mukta sangha param rajat. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to this transcendental kingdom. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.351. If people take to this Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, they will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy, as people were in such a yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities, and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundar. Translation. Yes, sir. Can I finish? Just a few more. I think there's three or four more. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashram Dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. I think I'll read the purport here. Eka Patni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was a glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravana and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravana and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravana and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprasas, are all equally important. Last verse. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. Purport. As Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yad yad acharati shrestas tad evitaro jana. Whatever example a great man sets, common men follow, common people follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Jai, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Thank you very much for reading all that to us. My question is this, that devotees who are conversant with Prabhupada's books, you know, read them, in other words, would probably easily agree that the political state of affairs in the world today is rapidly approaching what described at the beginning of the Krishna book and what you read today, which was described happening on earth before Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana, that, you know, being harassed by Rakshasas who were in control. So it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that whenever there's a rise in a decline in religiosity and a predominant rise of a religion, he descends in order to, you know, reestablish religious principles. However, the next incarnation of Krishna is not scheduled to come for another 427,000 years. Now, you did read in one purport where it was saying how if people take to the chanting of Hare Krishna, it could become like the Satya Yuga. So here's my question. Are things going to stay politically the way they are now? And it's just that if people take to chanting Hare Krishna, they themselves, like on an individual level, things will be okay for those people, but we'll have to tolerate like being controlled by Rakshasas for the next 427,000 years? Or is there a possibility that even, you know, the political situation may change? Or what did Prabhupada say anything about that one way or the other?
Yes, Goloka Premadan Harinama Sankirtan. Yes, the holy name has come from the spiritual world, and it is the means for development of Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga. But I think that one important factor is that that, you know, like we said in the very beginning, that even if there's a few people that accept that and they act accordingly to the Vedic culture, that can make a difference. But I think continuing from that point, like the Krishna consciousness movement is specifically meant for training brahmanas. We're not fighters, although we find ourselves doing that a lot. But we're not trained to be like kshatriyas. We're supposed to be trained as brahmanas and develop brahminical qualities. And that all starts from the very beginning. And that should be like the Vanashram, you know, the Brahmana, you know, then the Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. And then, of course, it means also Brahmachari. It's very important. Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So it's training. So if we don't have proper training in this world, and especially if we don't have training of Brahmacharis or the Vanashram Dharma, so beginning of Vanashram is Brahmachari life. Or to remain celibate. Prabhupada said many times that this is very scientific. And because it's not being done, you know, because it's neglected, people are suffering like anything. Now, why do I say Brahmachari? Because if you have this proper training, how to be celibate from very youthful age, and then from that you respect the opposite sex. You respect the women. You don't utilize them as your sense gratification, a tool for your enjoyment. Then we could see that there's good progeny from that. And from that good progeny, we can develop this culture of Krishna consciousness. So that's part of Krishna consciousness, to have good, solid brahmacharis. And we should see, like, it'd be nice to have 50 good brahmacharis in New Dwarka. Yeah. That would be really ecstatic. Because out of those 50, many of them would become householders. And if they're trained properly in brahmachari life, then they'll treat the ladies properly and won't abuse them. And from that, there'll be good progeny. And from that good progeny, it'll make a whole new world. That's how the world will be anew. And this is what's missing, because in society, it's craziness. It's like, Natevi du swata gatim hi vishnum. They don't know what the goal of life is. In fact, they go, durasayache bahirartha manina. They don't understand that the purpose or the goal of life is Vishnu, to please Krishna. Samsidir hari toshanam. The perfection of our life would be to please Krishna. That is the perfection of existence, if we can please Krishna. But instead, you know, they are in this process of durashaya, ambitious, really ambitious. They're just fully ecstatic about